If you open to Exodus chapter 12, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. We will read the first 13 verses of Exodus chapter 12. I recall in college, one of my speech classes said, always give the reference three times. First time, people say, huh, oh. The second time, they get the chapter. And the third time, they get the verse. Okay. So, Exodus chapter 12, that's the fourth time. We'll read the first 13 verses. First, let's review the background of Exodus chapter 12. Background to Exodus chapter 12. The Israelites have been in Egypt for 430 years. Not all of that time were they enslaved. They went there when Joseph was second in command, and the Israelites, Jacob and Joseph's brothers, the sons of Israel, received a very warm welcome because of what the Lord had done for Egypt through Joseph. But eventually, as the Bible says, there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, and then enslaved the Israelites. And God called Moses to go to deliver his people. And we are familiar with the story of Moses' refusal, hesitation, reluctance. But eventually, he submitted and he went. And we have, at this point, had 9 of the 10 plagues that the Lord used to devastate Egypt and to glorify his name. So it was Moses versus Pharaoh. At least they were the representative, the human representatives of the God of Israel versus all the gods of Egypt, personified as Moses versus Pharaoh. And Moses has gone before Pharaoh for the 10th time and has pronounced this last plague because, again, Pharaoh hardened his heart, refused to let the people of Israel, God's people, go. Now, I want to mention 2 of the Egyptian deities. In the Egyptian theology, Isis, you may have heard of the goddess, female. And remember, that, as the Bible says, idols are nothing. Right? Idols are nothing. Sometimes demons impersonate idols. Demons are real, idols are nothing, in 1 Corinthians. But the goddess Isis, she was the goddess of love who attended women at childbirth and protected the children. Okay, so she was the goddess of love, which we would read as lust. Okay, and but she also has a secondary characteristic in Egyptian theology, protected women and children at childbirth. And then there was a god called Min. Min, or I guess how you pronounce it. A god of reproduction. And as we'll read in this passage, God says, I'm going to execute judgment on all the gods of Egypt. And every one of his plagues was directed against 1 or 2 specific Egyptian deities to show that the God of heaven is God, and all the gods of the nations are idols. And so that's some background. Unless somebody wants to try to list the 9 plagues that have already occurred, we remember the first one, and we remember the last one. The first one was changing the water into blood, and the last one, remember the death of the firstborn. So those middle 8. Kind of like the middle forgotten child, right? Family. By the way, how many have seen that epic movie? And I use the word epic not in the everyday sense. Let's drop it down. But it's truly an epic movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston. Okay, I don't normally refer to movies during preaching. I remember seeing that several times when I was young. The danger of it, and it's fairly accurate, but the danger of it is when I, for a long time, as I read through the scriptures and those events that were portrayed in that movie, I always saw the movie. And the movie is not completely accurate. That's a danger of seeing visual representations of what the Bible is portraying. We get so, we're so tuned to movies that when we see something that's not accurate, forever we think it's that way. And so there's a, that was free. That's a rabbit trail. Okay. So now let's look at what really is true. Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to you every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, or house there meaning like a family, lineage, family group, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, not boiled in water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. Pertinence there meaning the inner organs. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall eat with fire. And thus, you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men, man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessing, your guidance, your help in this time. Pray that we would understand your word correctly and that we would respond to it in the proper way. We thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at eight ideas from these 13 verses. And if I had more time, I might have a screen or a blackboard, two columns. I want to look at the Passover here and how Christ is the fulfillment of these eight things. And these eight things are probably, are not, definitely not exhaustive. There's more. Verse 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So the first one, the month Abib, was to be the beginning of the new year. Now, there are several years of the Jewish calendar. And I heard a very helpful illustration when I was trying to figure out the Jewish calendar. We have a school year. When does the school year start? September. When does the calendar year start? January. Some businesses have fiscal years. They could start at different times. So we're familiar with that. There was a civil calendar. There was a religious calendar. And here the Lord is changing their calendar, setting up a new year to begin in the month Abib. It's a new calendar. It's a new life. God is going to do something remarkable. Later, the name of the month Abib was changed to Nisan, or Nisan. In Esther, in Esther 3:7, it says this: in the first month, that is the month Nisan. So it's the same month that they just changed the name for whatever reason. I'm not sure of that. But God began something new. God was going to do something remarkable, and now there's a new year, new life, new beginning. So that's the first thought. God did something new, or something remarkable, to make a new year. Second thought, verse 3. It says, every man, speak unto all the congregation, all the people of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Okay? Every man, all the congregation of Israel, everyone needs this lamb. So first thought, a new beginning, new life. Second thought, everyone needs this lamb. Third thought in verse 4, it says, if the household be too little for the lamb. Okay? There was a provision made. What if the household, that family, lived in that house, was too little for the lamb? Well, then, take that lamb and share it with another family. There was provision made if the family was too small, if the household was too small. There's no provision. What if the lamb is too small for that household? No provision made. Why? The lamb was never too small for that household. That was a third thought. Okay? You following me? Say mm-hmm or mm-mm. Fourth thought is in verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. The lamb must be perfect, without blemish. Must be male, must be firstborn. That's what it means by the first year. And it was chosen before it was to be sacrificed. Okay. So the fourth thought, the lamb was perfect, without blemish, male, firstborn, and it was chosen before it was to be sacrificed. Fifth thought, in verse 6, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Well, when was it selected? When was it brought into the house? Go back in verse 3. It says, on the 10th day. So the 10th day of this month, Abib, which was the new calendar, beginning of the new year, take a lamb, bring it into your house. What happens when you bring a lamb into your house and you keep it the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th day? Do you feel any heartstrings? Do you get attached? Would your children particularly get attached to that lamb? Yes. The lamb was to live with the family for a short time. Why? As a time of examination. To make sure that it was perfect. Because unless it was perfect lamb, it was not acceptable sacrifice. Had to be examined for a time. That was the fifth thought. Sixth thought in verses 6 and 7. The lamb would be killed in the evening and its blood applied to the sides and the top, the doorposts of the house where it would be eaten. Not on the bottom, not across the threshold. Why? Was not to be walked upon, not to be treated lightly. So the lamb would be killed, and you know, I've been told or read, they would take the lamb, grab it, the back, you know, the fur, stretch its neck out, cut its neck, catch the blood in a basin in a bowl, and take that blood, and later in the chapter we're told of some more instructions. Hyssop, which was a plant that grew in that area, and take it and dip it and wipe it, the blood, on the doorposts and the side of that, where the door of the house where the family was had just sacrificed that lamb. So the sixth thought, lamb was killed and the blood applied. Seventh thought, verses 8 through 11. They shall eat it with haste. Okay, roast with fire. Everything was to be roasted. Eat it with leavened bread and bitter herbs. And it was not to be eaten raw or boiled, sodden with water. And let nothing remain. And verse 11, here's how you should eat it. With your loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Now, that phrase, loins girded. In the New Testament, we have gird up the loins of your mind. Right? It was something very practical that became a figure of speech. They did not dress like this. Most of you don't even dress like this. Right? Okay? They did not have pants that they wore. Everybody wore robes. Pretty much the same as what you see the Bedouins. If you see pictures of the Bedouins over in the Promised Land, they wear those. You know, or think of the sheiks, long flowing robes. They wore that because that's what kept them alive in that desert heat. You couldn't do much work when you had a long robe on. So they would take and pull up to about here, reach underneath, and pull the back up and tuck it in. So they made kind of like shorts out of it. That was girding the loins. Loins are between your hips and your knees. Gird, belt up the loins. It was a phrase for you had work to do. You had to do something that required you to get disentangled from all those robes. With your loins girded, shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat in haste, be ready to move. Why? Well, first, you were to eat it because it gave you life and strength. Be ready to leave. Something was going to happen. And you had to eat it in haste to be ready at any time. Why did you have to get ready to move? Why eat it in haste? Okay, seventh idea, eat it quickly. It gives life, gives you strength for what's coming. What's coming? The eighth idea, verses 12 and 13. Judgment is coming. When I pass through the land of Egypt this night, I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. Remember I told you about two of them? Isis, the protector of children, and Min, the god of reproduction. God directly challenges two of their major deities in this last plague, as he did with other deities. And it shows that God is God. I, look at the end of verse 12. I am the Lord. That phrase has much more significance than we can imagine. God is God. I mentioned this morning, Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, Jehovah, it's all caps, He is God. What kind of a person is God who can create everything with just His word? What kind of God can do anything He wants with anyone? A God who can think of something as big and broad as our galaxy and then take the Milky Way galaxy, which, where were we? We came back Thursday night? Or was it Wednesday? From Lydia Ladies. While my wife was at Lydia Ladies, we were waiting and waiting and waiting at the park, and it got dark, and we came out here, and we got out of the van, turned off, you know, shut the doors, and lights went out. I said, kids, stop. Close the doors. Look up there. All right? You see this big white streak. Spectacular. God made every one of those stars. And He calls them all by name. And that's just one galaxy that we're in. And there's, best we know, thousands, might be wrong, millions of these galaxies out there. And God was wise and is wise enough to think all those through, put them there, and He knows every single star. And then down to the microscopic, we have a miniature version of all that in atoms and in molecules and even the subatomic parts that we're still discovering. What's the elemental particle of the universe? Okay. Every time we think we have it, oh, well, not actually, that one's composed of smaller ones. Okay. So that is just a smidgen of God. God directly, the God of the Bible, the God of heaven, the Lord, Jehovah, directly challenges the Egyptian gods, and they're powerless. Even Pharaoh's advisors said, don't you realize that Egypt is ruined? Let these people go. Through these 10 plagues, God struck all their deities down, destroyed their land. Why? To show his glory and to bring his people out. When God does something for his people, it glorifies him. Judgment is coming, the last or thought that I have, for the eighth thought. Judgment is coming, but in verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, where we get the term Passover. When God saw the blood applied in obedient faith, okay? Now, faith without obedience is not true faith. Moses was commanded to tell the people of Israel these things. If they didn't have faith, they wouldn't have done it. They had to have obedient faith. And God sees the blood, judgment is passed over. Why? Instead of the firstborn dying, the lamb died in its place. Innocent for the guilty. Now, I referenced this morning, John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes away the sin of the world. And in 1 Corinthians 5:7, the last part of the verse says, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, all of this, in addition to God of heaven challenging the Egyptian gods, showing that they are nothing and he is the true God, to destroy the mightiest nation of the world at that time, to bring his people out, all of that, there's another layer to it, was a picture of Jesus Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. So now here's the parallels, the eight parallels. How is Christ our Passover? First one, the month of Abib shall be the beginning of the new year for you. God's going to do something remarkable. God's going to start a new life, new year, new calendar. When you get saved, God gives you a new life. It's a new beginning. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. God rejects our first birth because ye must be born again. Born from above, not born of Adam, born from above. And God did something remarkable when he saved you. He saved a sinner. Now you have a new nature. You have a new future. You got a new purpose. You have a new master. You have new life. The beginning of a new year. Secondly, every man needs the Lamb. All the congregation of Israel needs the Lamb. Every person in the world needs Jesus because every person in the world is a sinner. We all need Christ. The third thought, the household might be too small for the lamb, but the lamb is never too small for the household. Parallel in Christ, no one is too big of a sinner for Jesus to save. There is no one that Jesus Christ, our Passover, cannot save. Our Passover is sufficient for all. That would include the governor, Meade. That would include President Obama. That would include people that I mentioned last week, Stephen Hawking, Richard Dawkins, Bill Nye, someone I didn't mention, Sam Harris. Those four are the world's leading evangelists for evolution and atheism today. Hawkins, Dawkin, Nye, and Sam Harris. They are evangelizing for evolution and atheism. God can save them if they will repent and turn to Him. No one is without hope. Everyone has hope because the Passover lamb is sufficient. Fourth idea, the lamb must be perfect in verse 5. Jesus is perfect and without blemish. He is a male, firstborn. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, things that perish, corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, empty lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers." We weren't redeemed with that stuff. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, truly, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus was chosen before He was sacrificed, before the foundation of the world. Imagine, God knew that man would sin. God knew that it would cost Him His Son, and God still created the world, still created all the stars, every person, so that He would receive the glory. He receives glory when people are saved, when He can give them that new life, that new beginning, that new nature. And as hard as it is for us to think about it, at the great white throne judgment, when all those who died rejecting Christ are judged and their name is missing from the book of life and they're cast into the lake of fire, God will receive glory from that too. The holiness of God will be on display. The justice of God will be on display there, as well as the grace and mercy when He saves people. The fourth idea, Jesus was perfect, a perfect lamb without blemish. Fifth idea in verses 6, the lamb lived with them for a short time for examination. Jesus lived with us for a short time, 33 years, but publicly for about 3.5 years. Luke 23 verse 4 says, "Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, 'I find no fault in this man.'" Pilate examined him 3 times. "I find no fault in this man." Each time he examined him, Jesus was without spot and without blemish, and we examined him. He was tempted and tried in every way like we are, yet without sin. And the sixth thought, the lamb would be killed in the evening and its blood applied. Jesus died on the 14th day of the month Nisan, as a sacrifice for our sins. A living lamb saves no one, but a sacrifice lamb, now there's salvation. The Jewish day, their culture was different. The Jewish day ended at sunset. So if we were Jewish, the end of the day is fast approaching. Okay? And because of where they lived, the sun typically rose real close to 6 in the morning and went down close to 6 at night. Josephus, not a Christian, but a Jewish historian who was accurate, writes that it was customary in his day for the Jews to slay the Passover lamb at 3 o'clock. Our 3 o'clock. Okay. Luke 23, verses 44 through 46. Luke 23, 44 through 46 says this. "And it was about the 6th hour." Okay, now the first hour was 6 in the morning. 6 hours later, let's see, the clock goes this way for you guys, right? 6 hours later is noon. "It was about the 6th hour, and there was darkness over all the land until the 9th hour." So from noon our time to 3. 3 hours of darkness. It was not an eclipse. Eclipses don't last 3 hours. "The sun was darkened." I'm sorry, "And there was darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent, ripped in the midst." Now that veil was about 18 feet tall. I think it was like about 6 feet wide, and it was the width of a man's hand thick, made out of animal hide and fur. It would not rip by accident. Okay? I believe it's the Gospel of Mark says it was ripped from top to bottom. Man didn't rip it open to enter into the presence of God. Top down. But we're reading in Luke. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit. It's not to be treated lightly. Remember in Exodus 12, blood on the sides and the top, but not on the threshold. In Hebrews 10, verse 29, in Hebrews, is written to the Jews, explaining how Christ is better than all these types, all these symbols, all these shadows. Christ fulfills them all. He's better. And it says, "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing," or a common thing, "and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Jesus, his death, his sacrifice is not to be treated lightly, not to be thought common, ordinary, but very, very special. That was the sixth thought. Seventh thought, eat the lamb quickly, as much of it as you can. It gives you life and strength. Be ready for action. Why? In John 6, verses 53 through 54, Jesus says unto them, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Eat the lamb. Eat it quickly. Get ready for action. Why? We need to eat, in a figurative sense, the body and the blood of Christ. We need to take it in. It gives us life. It gives us strength. Why? The eighth thought, judgment is coming. On that night in Egypt, the 14th, the night of the 14th of Abib, the death angel passed through the land. And every house that did not have the blood applied, the death angel struck down the firstborn man or beast. Judgment is coming when Christ returns, catches his bride, the church, away. Judgment will fall upon the earth. Judgment like never before. No one can escape it except through the blood of Jesus. And yet, even though Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he's our Passover and has been sacrificed for us, we could still die and go to hell and pay for our own sins. How can that be? Look in Exodus 12. Notice the progression in verses 3, 4, and 5. Okay, I'll read it and I'll give emphasis so you can catch it yourselves. Exodus 12, verses 3, 4, and 5. Look at this progression on the description of the Lamb. Verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make an account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or the goats." The progression. It is a lamb in verse 3. A lamb. But then it gets more specific in verse 4. It is the lamb. And in verse 5, it's personal. Your lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Is Jesus your Lamb of God? Because unless he's your Lamb of God, the blood's not applied to the door of your soul, and you won't be passed over in Judgment Day. I'm not asking, do you believe this? The devils believe that. James 2:19, thou believest there's one God, thou dost well. The devils believe and tremble. They know this better than we do. They're still in willful rebellion because Jesus didn't come as a demon to save the demons. He came as a human to save humans. He came as the last Adam so that any of the descendants of Adam could be saved. That's why angels cannot be saved. That's why animals cannot be saved, because Christ came as a human and was a sacrifice for us. It's not, are you a good man? It's not, do you read the Bible? It's not, do you pray? It's not, do you put money in the offering? It's not, do you help people who are moving? It's not, are you helpful that way? It's, is Jesus your Lamb? Are you trusting in him alone for your salvation? Not him and baptism. Not him and good works. It's not, he's going to cover what little bit I don't have. I'll put the big down payment on, he'll cover the rest. No. Jesus supplies it all. The Lamb is sufficient for everyone. If not, why not take Christ as your Lamb tonight? And if he is, let's praise God for his Lamb, for Christ our Passover. Our Father, we praise you that you are God and that you are our Father. We praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that in him we are complete, we are made perfect, we are given his righteousness. We praise you, Lord, that Christ, the innocent Lamb of God, died in our place so that we could have our judgment placed on him and passed over from us. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity, the privilege of being part of this and of sharing it with others. And Lord, as we look forward in a few moments to remembering, celebrating and commemorating what you've done for us through Christ's death, Father, may we be renewed in our commitment to you, to be faithful and obedient, and to love you supremely. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Passover. Amen.